أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise and all thanks belongs to Allah. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek His help and we ask for His forgiveness. And we ask Allah, most glorified and exalted, to shower His peace, His blessing, His benediction upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and the righteous everywhere. My dear brothers, sisters, friends, and honored guests, I greet you all with the greeting words of peace, the greeting words of paradise, the greeting words of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May God's peace, mercy, and blessings be with each and every one of you. I wish to welcome you all to Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto's pre-Ramadan event and fundraiser. We thank you so much for taking your valuable time out of a Thursday evening to share the moment with us and to celebrate Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto, and to celebrate the great moment that we are about to embark upon, the moment that we call the month of Ramadan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may cultivate the mindfulness of God. So we indeed are embarking upon a very special moment in the Muslim calendar, and we're so happy that you could join Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto on this blessed Thursday evening. We have two very special speakers with us today, but before I introduce our speakers, I wanted to mention that, you know, one of the most important objectives of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto is to provide faith-based counseling and positive mentorship. And within the last year, our three chaplains here at Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto have held over 350 confidential counseling sessions, ranging from questions of faith to ways of dealing with school stress. And this is a critical service for students looking for a safe space to ask questions, to seek spiritual guidance, and to connect with experienced spiritual counselors. And all of these sessions are for free, without charge. And indeed, we see this service as an extension of our spiritual and religious mission as Muslims. So we are in need of your support. We are in need of your good wishes, and we are in need, most importantly, of your dua. So we are here to celebrate the work of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto. We're here to celebrate all of you, and we are here to encourage all of you to be generous, and indeed to remind you, if the work of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto is important to you, is meaningful to you, and you feel is a very important part to the forward momentum of our community, please donate generously. As well, we have now expanded our counseling services to all Ontario universities. Because our work has moved online due to the COVID-19 pandemic, our circle has expanded. Albeit, we most prefer the visible presence of community life. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this situation. So alhamdulillah, we are now online and we are able to expand our circle. So alhamdulillah, as I mentioned before, we have some very special guests with us today, both supporters of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto, and we're going to get straight into our program. Our first beloved guest is Imam Khalid Latif, and he is a university chaplain for New York University and the executive director of the Islamic Center at New York University. Under his leadership, the Islamic Center at New York University became the first ever established Muslim student center at an institution of higher education in the United States. Imam Latif's exceptional dedication and ability to cross interfaith and cultural lines on a daily basis brought him recognition throughout the city, so much so that in 2007, Mayor Michael Bloomberg nominated Imam Latif to become the youngest chaplain in history of the New York City Police Department at the age of 24. What was I doing at the age of 24? I definitely was not a chaplain for not only the New York City Police Department, for any police department. So alhamdulillah, we're so happy to have Imam Khalid Latif with us. He has been a strong supporter of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto, and we feel so blessed to have you present with us. Imam Khalid Latif, please address us. Thank you.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank him, we praise him, we glorify him. We beseech him to send his choicest salutations upon his most beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and upon all those who choose to tread his path until the last day. If I were to ask you all whether you're having a good day today or not, and you were to answer that question within yourself, a simple yes or no, that my day is going well or my day is not going well. And then building upon that answer, I was to ask you, why? Why is it good or why is it not good? What is it making, either of those experiences? And after you reflect on that for a little bit and try to think for yourself, and ideally at a later time do when you have some more time allocated for that reflection, I'd want you to think whether you would want to have a good day tomorrow. And to not confine tomorrow just to the day that is after today, but you could place tomorrow in terms of a week from now or 2 weeks from now. And likely most of us would say that, yes, we want to have a good day tomorrow. May Allah make it so. And within the prism of that conversation, within yourself, I would then ask you to reflect on what is it that will make that day good? What will you need for it to make it so? Where we find ourselves in a place that is most opportune, that many of us likely have heard for some time over and over, if not over the course of the last days, but weeks and years. The blessing that is Ramadan, may Allah enable us to reach it and make us from amongst those who benefit from it. And the idea is we have maturation to our physical self, our emotional self, our mental self. Our spiritual maturation is also something that needs to take place. At the same way as if when I was 5 years age or 5 months old, I didn't eat the same foods that I eat now, or didn't wear the same clothes that I wear now. I have organic growth to myself. My spiritual maturation necessitates me also having evolution in how I relate to my religion and my faith, and to take what it is that's been given to me in terms of spiritual vehicles and practices, and to now have them be things that I still generate inward growth from. Especially a month of Ramadan. And to see it within the moment that we find ourselves in, that goes back to these questions of what is it that's going to really bring us contentment? What is it that's going to help us to find meaning in the course of our day? What is it that's going to help me to assure that the day that I experience tomorrow is going to be a good day? And that means that our approach to Ramadan begins with the same things that it does for so many people. It's a month that's about Quran. It's a month that is for fasting, for those who are able to, if they have the means to. It's a month of generosity. It's a month of so much. But fundamentally, all of it comes back to what everything in our tradition comes back to: a means of connecting to our Creator. And through a formula that understands that our understanding and knowing of Allah is by knowing of ourselves. What our conversation tonight affords for us is an opportunity to think about ourselves in a more holistic capacity, and to not just see us through the physical self, but to also understand that just as we have a body, a badan, a jasad, a physical, so too we have the qalb, the spiritual heart. We have the aql, the intellect. We have the nafs, the ego. We have irada, sheer will and determination. And Ramadan affords us the opportunity to connect to so much of what's happening within us, and to begin now to move forward in a way that allows for us to have a holistic approach to what it is that we have going on. And the physicality of it aside, because it's never been about empty stomachs, but it's always been about full hearts. And not hearts that are full that they feel like they're going to burst and break, but a fullness that gives us empowerment and strength and energy. That means that we have to, in our own spiritual maturation, pay attention to what comes up in the course of Ramadan, in the prism of the other spheres that make us a whole self: our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. I was in Canada pre-COVID and was invited to be in a conversation at a large masjid in the area that was having discussions now, introductory on mental wellness and health. And after I'd given some remarks, we had a panel, and on the panel there was a young woman who was speaking to this audience of 500. There were individuals of all backgrounds. And as she soared her personal narrative and made herself vulnerable, she talked about what it was like for her as a convert to Islam, who self-identifies as Black, has been diagnosed with clinical depression, and also is a survivor of abuse stemming from an incestuous relationship. May Allah make things easy for her and all those who are survivors of abuse. And she very vividly described what her life was like in the prism of mental health. That's what the conversation was about that day. And when it concluded and the audience started to get up and have conversations, three women approached me, who, not stereotyping them in any way, but wearing abayas and hijab and niqab so that you can get a picture of them in your mind. And they said, "Can we talk to you for a moment?" And I said, "Sure." And they said, "We studied this religion. Traditionally, in the Indian subcontinent for 7 years. We pursued further graduate studies in the UK. We're even studying more now here in Canada." And they said, "Nothing in the decade plus of learning that we've engaged has taught us how it is that we're supposed to respond or answer this person." And I said to them with deep love that maybe that's because you're not the ones that are supposed to be answering her. And that's okay. that your training is what it is, and it's an important training. But there are others who are deeply versed in the fields of counseling, therapy, and so much more that can help to add nuance to what it is that she is going through. And so where you and I can understand the conversation that we have today and the critical role that a chaplaincy provides as we go through Ramadan now and we understand the legality of it, we understand the fiqh aspects of it, we know what invalidates our fast and what validates our fast, we know what is prohibited and what is recommended, we know the start times and the end times. What we want to know now is how do we deal with the things that come up for us? The stresses, the exhaustion, the anguish, the anxieties. How do we start to approach the realities that come to us day to day that suddenly don't stop when the month starts? And who is it that we go to now start to engage in conversations that are not always just giving us direct answers, because everything is not always so black and white, but to help to create within us a sense of self-esteem and self-worth, empowerment to our tradition, and give us a sense of accountability rooted in confidence that we can make choices and decisions. And even when we have struggles, that we don't have to go through it alone, because there is an empathetic ear that is listening to affirm what it is that we feel and to help us learn how to replenish ourselves through what we go through. Many of you likely have heard of the attacks that took place in Dallas, Texas, earlier this week, and may Allah make things easy for all those whose lives were lost and the ones that they have left behind who yearn to be with them. The young woman who was killed in that violent attack was a student of mine at New York University. May Allah grant her peace and entrance into Jannah without any judgment. A beautiful young woman by the name of Farbin Tawheed. And over the course of the last few days, where so many of her friends and classmates, faculty, professors, administrators who knew her as a student in our School of the Arts, a young girl whose energy was so profound that no one could say anything other than when she walked into a room, she would just illuminate the room, dedicated to her art, which spoke such volumes of who she was and what her character was. There were so many people who are looking now for understanding, looking for healing, looking for hope, and continue to in these days that are still so raw after that violent, tragic attack that took her life and that of her immediate family. And for all of those young people, we were able to create healing spaces and spaces for processing. My staff and I at our chaplaincy last night hosted a khatam and a service that had hundreds from across our university, whether they were of our faith or not, listen to her friends reflect on her, hear us recite Quran, complete 5 khatams on behalf of her and her family, and make dua for their maghfirah. And then we had a smaller space where there was about 60 or 70 who gathered to now have more open discussion on what it feels like. And I want you to think, because in that moment, amongst the people who showed up were also members of her family, who said that in the midst of all of this, this is the first space that we feel like we're actually starting to heal. That's what a chaplaincy does. And that's how you have to use yours and cultivate it and engage it as a resource through your Ramadan after a year in a pandemic where there's so much stress and so much difficulty. And it's okay to acknowledge that. That's not a sign of anything problematic. And I want you to think, where would those hundreds of people be? Where would those dozens of students be who were her close friends in a short amount of time as a first-year student that she built a relationship with? Where would they be if our office, our center, our chaplaincy was not there to provide support to them? And that's the unfortunate reality that many Muslim students experience. In Canada, the United States, the UK, and much of the world. A space that is so critical within one's formative period of their identity. They can help them now navigate the legalistic framework, the theological framework, with a complementary understanding of the ethical and moral framework that equips them now with an opportunity to move forward, to find strength through our tradition, to find meaning in failure, and to know that you don't have to just go through things alone or that your expression of emotions is not a problem. In this coming Ramadan, try to understand that there are so many who would long for someone to just call them and check in on them. So be the ones who check in on them. There are so many who are going through difficulty and strife. May Allah make things easy for them. Be the reason they have hope in this world. Live your faith in such a way that it is not simply one that is nafsi or egocentric, but serves the common good. And then make sure that you become the biggest advocates of stabilizing in people's minds why the chaplaincy at the University of Toronto is so important for the students there, the entire community there, but also for the city of Toronto and people who live all around it and in other parts of the world. Because the success and support of that vibrant institution will then yield individuals such as yourself to go out with a different sense of self. That you now become the catalyst of real change for so many, a source of light and illumination, a source of healing and a source of benefit. And that's why we have to do our part to ensure that no one feels alone. No one feels they have to struggle by themselves. The Quran, it prohibits alcohol, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrates to us pastoral care and how he shows compassion to the companion of his that in hadith he is laughing with, and in other narrations he is standing with as he struggles with his drinking and comes to take the hud punishment for it. And when other people mock him and say, oh, so-and-so, he's coming again, in a way that looks down at him, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to those people that do not assist shaitan in victory over your brother, that indeed he loves Allah and his messenger. And if those people heard it and we know it, then assuredly the Prophet's companion heard it and find strength to it. That's what a chaplain does. That's what pastoral care is. It works with the person in their given reality. It allows for Ramadan to not just be about the absence of food and the absence of water. It's not just about the passive act, but it's about embracing now a nourishment of the whole vessel. And I don't know about you, but I could say for myself that after the last year and a half, I'm ready for replenishment. I'm ready for rejuvenation. And I'm ready to turn to people who make sense to help me get to where it is that I want to be and my soul is in need of me returning to. And so support your chaplaincy and encourage others to as well. And make sure you avail yourself of the resources that you have. Just think and reflect, as our teacher, Imam Yassin, is telling us. 350 cases. Can you imagine that? Anxiety, depression, grief, suicidal ideation, physical abuse, mental abuse, financial abuse, spiritual abuse, relationship issues, family issues, worry about the future, bad grades, marital problems, things across the gamut. These are entire people with names and narratives. Where would they have gone if not to the three chaplains that are there at your chaplaincy? And would the alternatives actually have yielded for them what it is that they needed? Or would it be like the young woman who I spoke to you before about? When these three scholars, who are scholars in their own right, said, "We don't know how it is that we can engage someone like this," would they have met somebody who did not have the training, but still nonetheless pretended like they did? And so with that, I wanted to ask you all to join me in a short dua that is about our coming Ramadan, inshallah, as a way for us to be centered together in the space and to benefit from each other's presence, that even where buildings are closed, that hearts remain open. And our physical separation does not necessitate that we have to be spiritually disconnected. And so I would ask you all to recenter yourself and join me in making a dua, inshallah, to remove yourselves from any distractions, to let us be in a place where we understand that before anything came into existence, Allah wrote that all of us would be sharing this moment together. And so your heart is the most precious heart in the elevation of our dua. May Allah accept it from us and grant us better than what it is that we are asking of Him. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li wajhika wa azim sultanik. لك الحمد حمدا طاهرا طيبا مباركا فيه لا يوم الدين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين We begin this supplication in your name, Ya Allah, and beseech you to send your choicest salutations upon your most beloved, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We ask that you shower your infinite mercy upon this gathering, granting each and every one who is present herein and our loved ones only the best in this world and the best in the next. We ask, Ya Allah, that if all of us are meant to be together only at this time, at this place, whether we are young or old, male or female, regardless of our race, our ethnicity, our social class, our country of origin, our cultural heritage, whether we are Muslim or come from a different walk of life, Ya Rabbi, if our individual hearts are meant to be in the presence of all of our hearts that are gathered here only at this time, at this place, then gather us all together again in the best of places in the world beyond this one. Ya Allah, Ya Aleem, knower of all things, you who has known each of us before we even knew ourselves, help us through this coming month of Ramadan to know ourselves better. Help us through this blessed month to know our strengths and to live by them, to know our character and how to increase it, to know our pains and how to heal them, to know our value and how to share it, to know our blessings and how to be grateful for them, to know our wants and to see where they conflict with our needs, to know our shortcomings and to how to confront and defeat them, to know how to really forgive all those who have wronged us and to actually forgive them, to know how to seek forgiveness from those that we have wronged and to then go out and seek it, to know what charity is by being generous with our wealth and our time, to know what integrity is by being honest and truthful, and to know what goodness is by extending our hands without qualification to all those who are in need. Help us through the coming month of Ramadan to know who it is that we are and not let the people we are today be afraid any longer to meet the people we can be tomorrow. And through it, Ya Rabbi, help us to know you and your mercy, to know you and your love. Make us from amongst those who live with true contentment every day of our lives, and grant us an abode in the place of ultimate contentment in the world beyond this one. Allow for our beings to be filled with self-love that we can go out and share with others, rather than a love of ourselves that keeps us from being everything that we are able to be. When our hearts are heavy and we are filled with darkness, bring people to us who illuminate us through kindness, compassion, and love. Make us always the reason that people have hope in this world, and never the reason that people might dread it. Help us to know the realities of those that are around us by overcoming whatever it is that exists within us that keeps us away from one another. Through the coming month of Ramadan, perfect us inwardly so that we are victorious in the battle that is taking place every day for control of our hearts. Give us victory over selfishness and remove from within us any feeling of arrogance or racism. Increase us in brotherhood and sisterhood so that we might together take on every challenge that we individually face, and together celebrate every success and achievement. Give us hearts that feel anger whenever one of our sisters are abused, and the confidence and compassion needed to build for her the services and shelters that she is in need of. Give us hearts that feel sadness when any one of us loses a loved one, and the gentleness and mercy needed to be there for them fully. Give us hearts that feel joy whenever any one of us succeeds, and the love and hope needed to celebrate that achievement. Give us hearts that are not lost in the pursuit of this world, but hearts that are bold enough to be drawn to the world beyond this one. Let our rage be only at the injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we will work for justice, equality, and peace. Let our tears shed only for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and conflict, so that we will reach out our hands to comfort them and change their pain into joy. And let our successes be many as we make a difference in this world by doing the things which others say cannot be done. Help us to see this world always through hearts that have benefited from Ramadan, to see the goodness in all those who are around us, and to never be those who elevate ourselves by denigrating others, to see the benefit in any challenge that comes our way, and to not pass on a gift that can only be acquired through patience and perseverance. Help us to silence fear and abolish anxiety, to overpower indifference and break away from greed, to eliminate arrogance and defeat racism, to be bold enough to ask of you to make us those who only do that which is good. Make us those who find real peace and real love, and not just the semblance of it. Those who give real peace and real love, and not just the facade of it. Make our motivation always selflessness, not selfishness, sincerity, and never self-centeredness. For any pain and torment that we might have faced, through it give us ease, understanding, and facility. For any suffering that we have sustained, bring to us understanding and strength of healing. Grant us always a life that is filled with the wellness of our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and our hearts. Make this month of Ramadan a month of rejuvenation for us, a month of renewal for us, a month of replenishment. That it is not our stomachs that will be hungry, nor that our thirst will come from our throats, but it is our hearts, Ya Rabbi, that are parched and long to be revitalized. Grant us both in and through the coming weeks a much needed peace that we long for, even if we don't realize it. And throughout that blessed month, help us to make decisions through our hearts and not ever at their expenses. Put into our hearts a desire for nothing less but to take from the coming Ramadan all that it is that we can, and remove from our hearts anything that distracts us from it. Make us those who seek out witness and benefit from Laylatul Qadr. And in our standing in the nights, help us to remember all those who are forgotten, whether by us alone or the world around us. Give us the energy to stand into the night, and the sincerity to make dua for all who are special to us. Through the coming Ramadan, increase us in our Islam. Through the coming Ramadan, increase us in our Iman. Through the coming Ramadan, increase us in our Ihsan. Make the Quran our guide and grant us a deep understanding of it. Make the Sunnah our goal, both inward and outward aspects of it. And make our prayer our anchor, granting us the true sweetness that Salah and Dua only can. Make the best of our deeds the last of our deeds. And let not any one of us leave this world other than in a state that is most pleasing to you. Thank you for the good work that is coming from the chaplaincy at the University of Toronto. Bless all those who have established it, all those who continue to work for it, and make it a continued source of benefit, illumination, and light for all of your creation. Make us from the best of supporters of the good work that is being done there, and increase all those who are there in all that is good, so that they might be a continued source of benefit for your creation. Ya Allah, bless us through the coming month of Ramadan and help us to gain from it. Protect us always from hearts that are not humble, tongues that are not wise, and eyes that have forgotten how to cry. Forgive us for our shortcomings and guide and bless us all. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alayna ya maulana innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala 'ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you all so much for the opportunity to be with you, and thank you for the great work that you all are doing. May Allah make you a continued source of blessing for His creation and give to you only the best in this world and the best in the next. Wallahu ta'ala alim wa billahi tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.
Thank you so much, Imam Khalid Latif, for your support, for your prayers, your supplications, and for your presence. We are thankful for your presence, for your work, and we look forward to the time where we can be physically and visibly present with you once again here in Toronto. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, may He guide you, and keep you and your blessed family always in His care. May He help us and facilitate goodness for us, and may He plant the seed of righteousness within the hearts of you, your family, and your children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your children and make them pleasing to their Lord and pleasing to their parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, and we look forward to seeing you again very soon, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you so much, Imam Khalid. Jazakumullah khairan. Alhamdulillah, Imam Khalid has mentioned a lot of very important and unfortunately very difficult matters that we as chaplaincy organizations are dealing with. And one of the main features of a chaplaincy organization is to provide a spiritual home for those who may feel alienated from those traditional spaces that we call religious spaces. And home is not necessarily where you were born, but home is where all attempts to escape cease, where you don't have to run anymore. That, in fact, is where home is found. And we at Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto are looking to create a space that all of us can call a spiritual home, especially for the students whom we serve. And it has been over a year since the COVID-19 pandemic has started, and the Muslim Chaplaincy has seen a significant rise in demand for our mental health counseling services. We have hired additional chaplains and staff to handle the increased demand while also expanding, as I mentioned earlier, services across all Ontario universities. And since our foundation, the Muslim Chaplaincy has always kept our counseling sessions free for students to make it easily accessible. And while demand for our services are growing, we have seen a huge drop in donations for the past year, putting the financial sustainability of our organization at great risk. And we ask that you find it in your heart to contribute whatever amounts you can and share a word about our services with others. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all success. And again, if you believe in the work of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto, we ask that you give generously. We have with us as well our teacher, our sheikh, our mentor, one of the primary roles of any religious organization, any spiritual organization, is to provide mentorship, because the tradition of Islam is not necessarily inherited through books, rather it's inherited through people. And among those people is our beloved Sheikh Abdullah Idris Ali. And he has served as imam and director and founded the first full-time Islamic school in Toronto. He has served as the principal of ISNA Islamic Community School for 17 years. He also served on ISNA's Executive Council, the Majlis Ashura, Youth and Education Committee, and as the president of ISNA for two terms. He is the chair of the Islamic Media Foundation, and he is an all-around magnificent and perhaps one of the most important sources of guidance for the Muslim community, not only in Canada, but throughout North America. And he is currently working as the executive director of ISNA Canada. I can't tell you how pleased I am to introduce my teacher and my mentor, and perhaps a teacher and mentor of all of you who are present today. I'd like to invite our beloved Sheikh Abdullah Idris to address us and to encourage us to give generously to Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto. Sheikh Abdullah, I believe you're on mute.
I'm unmuted.
We got you now, Sheikh.
Okay, inshallah. Stay muted, stay unmuted. Doesn't want to disappear. Okay. Now, let me say Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Salatu Wassalam ala Rasulullah. That's in the name, by the name, with the name of Allah, that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send our peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Let me begin by saying two things. One, Jazakallah khair, Brother Yasin, Sheikh Yasin, Imam Yasin, because you are all this together, inshallah, for me, for giving me at least this opportunity again to talk to the chaplaincy. I did actually talk a couple of times, I don't know, 2-3 times before. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all the reward, inshallah, you want. Number two, I always keep doing this now to correct some information that's not proper, because I'm no longer the executive director now. Our brother Fuzan Khan is the one who is going to be, is now the executive director. There are organizations that were before but are not there. So you just add past that, and we'll keep it, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair again and again. Now, talking to you actually and talking about University of Toronto brings me back my young age memories. When I was about 44 years ago, came to U of T, and I was in the campus where the students were very small number. I remember the first experience I had is on Jum'ah. The first Jum'ah I prayed, I counted the number of the people there. There were only 17 people in Hart House. And in those days, my fiqh was very low. I come from a Maliki background where we were being taught, we don't know from where, that you have to have minimum 40 people for Jum'ah prayer. So I was in doubt whether to pray Jum'ah or to pray Zuhr, and I asked people around me, So ultimately, I mean, I said, okay, I'll pray with them, but I'm going to pray my Zohar as well, just to be on the comfort zone. Later on, that changes, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened all doors of mercy for us to know about Islam. And this is what I advise all people to do, especially when we come from any country overseas and so on. We come with a lot of, I call it culture of religion, rather than religion as such. And this is why people get here to be amazed when so many things are there. Now, for Ramadan. First, Jazakallah khair, I say to Imam Khalid Latif, and I'm telling you this, I was saying Ameen after every word he said, and I think if this is answered, we are all in paradise. I can assure you, the dua he made, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted, we are in paradise even pre-Ramadan. However, Ramadan is an opportunity for us to reset our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, Shahr al-Quran is the month of the Quran. I always tell brothers and sisters, especially younger people, if you never read the Quran in your life once, please take this at least Ramadan to make sure that you make an intention that you finish the Quran by the end of the month. One juz of the Quran takes between half an hour, maximum 45 minutes, an hour to people have difficulty reading. So you are talking 1 hour a day, and on average I call it 45 minutes. I personally read in 25 minutes a juz every single day. So at least this Ramadan, make it a case, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam assured us that Ramadan and the Quran are like the two months, I mean the two twins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them for us on the day of judgment, that they become like our lawyers, will appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of them. So the first thing you keep in mind is read the Quran. As I said to you, at least once, if you cannot read it more than that. On average, you can do that if you read one juz a day. By the end of the Ramadan, you finish Ramadan. And also, coupled with this, I want you all time to pick up maybe 5-10 verses a day. Go through any translation of the Quran so that you understand exactly what you are reading, and gradually you build your knowledge and then make it a habit so that every single day you come in contact and in touch with the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam actually will file a complaint to Allah by people who desert the Quran. And he will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna qawm ittakhadu hadha al-Quran mahjura. Like my people, and some of us unfortunately do it, that they deserted the Quran, and that's not what the Quran is for. The second thing, of course, is the fasting itself. Make sure that Ramadan should be the time, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and I think this is what we should understand. That no matter how much you sinned, how much you wronged, how much you felt short of fulfilling the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ramadan will be your chance, actually, to cleanse all of that, and Allah will wipe all your sins. The Prophet also warned. In a very famous hadith, they said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Raghima Anfu. Raghima Anfu is a phrase that's being used to humiliate people. And it literally means, let them wipe their nose with the floor or the dirt. For those, and he mentioned three people, among them was the person who actually had the chance to be in the month of Ramadan, and he did not have the privilege of Allah forgiving him. The hadith is famous, the three things he said. First, the person who, من أدرك رمضان, he said, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the opportunity to be in the month of Ramadan and didn't take that as a chance for him to cleanse himself from his sins. Second person, of course, is the one who does not, he says that he has parents and he did not do good to them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with these parents, and they were not, like, he was not able to make sure that with helping their parents, being kind to them, that would be his passage to paradise. The third, of course, the Prophet said that whoever hears my name, like Muhammad, and didn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in a format, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these three things. The Prophet mentioned them specifically to remind us that Ramadan would be the opportunity. Now, the fourth thing that we do in the month of Ramadan, apart from the Siyam, the Qiyam, reciting the Quran, is actually charity. Now, we are being told by the Prophet والسلام, that any, even fard, any deed you do in the month of Ramadan will earn you multiples of rewards. This is why many of the people keep their zakah until the month of Ramadan so that they can multiply the reward just by paying it during the month of Ramadan. And the rest of that is the charity, of course. Now, as Imam Yassin said, now the chaplaincy is very much affected by the way you provide funds for it. You need more people. By the way, I don't know, because Imam Khalid talked about this tragic incident that happened in Texas, but I don't know whether everyone knew about it or not, but according to the report of Al Jazeera, it's a very sad thing, and it reflects not only the need for the chaplaincy, as a matter of fact, the need for the community to be together, because this is a family. There are two young boys, they have a daughter, their mother, actually their grandmother was visiting them also, they are from Bangladesh, and their father was there. And the thing that was really, really, really disturbing to me is that these kids suffered from loneliness, suffered from all these mental problems, but it seems nobody looked after them. And then both of them decided to commit suicide, the two brothers. And the strange thing in this special case, which is really something that's amazing, they said that when they decided, they went and bought a gun, they want to shoot themselves and they commit suicide. But before they do this, one of them, they didn't mention exactly who said it, but said to his brother, you know what, if we kill ourselves and commit suicide, we are going to keep our parents, our sisters, our father, in a miserable situation all the rest of their life. So the best thing to do is to get rid of them before us. And this is what they did. Can you imagine this kind of thinking? People can be dragged into this. These boys went, killed every one of them, thinking that this is a mercy for them so that they don't suffer behind. And this is a very strange way of looking at what people, and then they shot themselves. So all of them were found dead. This according, by the way, the report that Al Jazeera report is very sad, it's very disturbing. It actually says the urgency of doing as much as we can to keep the chaplaincy, to keep it going, inshallah, for that. Now, Ramadan actually is the month of the Quran, right? And I'm going to strictly tell you about the Quran. About this giving, but I'm going to speak strictly, because even the thing that the Prophet والسلام, explained about Ramadan about anything is actually what he understood from the Quran and what he actually knew about the Quran, what Allah meant for us. Now, I'll give you these two invitations I gave, and two invitations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One invitation, actually invitation for Ramadan, yes, an invitation for Allah. Allah says in the Quran, quote, Wallahu yad'u ila dar as-salam. Allah invites you people to dar as-salam. Dar as-salam is paradise. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And he guides whoever wants to the straight path that leads people to paradise. Why Allah is inviting us? Because Ramadan is our opportunity actually to make it for paradise. And the Prophet said it, that if you fast Ramadan, then you earn the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned for you in paradise. Now, this is the first invitation, just to be and make it to paradise, inshallah. The second invitation is the invitation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and actually addresses us directly. I'm going to say it to you as it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here you are. Here you are. Literally says, you are. The word in Arabic is, ha antum ha'ula. Here you are. You are being invited to what? Allah says, here you are. You are being invited. Ha antum ha'ula'i tud'awna. To do what? لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So that you can give in charity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Now Allah poses us by saying, he says, أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تُدْعَوْنَ لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, فَمِنْكُمْ from among you مَنْ يَبْخَلْ. Some of you will like hold, they hold, because they don't want to give. He said, وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِ. That if you hold, you'll be holding against yourself. Not against the project. I mean, all these projects, Allah will provide people for them, inshallah, to come. He says, وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِ. وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِي. Allah is abundantly rich. وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَى. And you are the one who desperately need Allah. Me and you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Allah to live. We need Allah to breathe. We have Allah to earn. We have Allah to do all what we do. He says, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِي وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَى. And if you turn your back, Allah might replace you. As a matter of fact, Allah says this. He says, وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. So the invitation here for you is to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he says. As I said in the beginning, Ramadan is شهر القرآن. And Allah did not, as we said, assign us to read everything in the Quran. Actually, Allah is so merciful. He says that you can read all the Quran, but at least read as much as you can from the Quran. There is one verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Muzammil where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah measures the days and the nights. Our life is a day to come and a day to go. يعني life is this. You measure your life by days, a day and a night. He said, وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. عَلِمَ أَلَّمْ تُحْصُوهُ. Allah knows no one can measure up to what Allah expects of him. Now, what do you mean by that? He said, عَلَمَ أَلَّمْ تُحْصُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah is so forgiving, so merciful, that he let go. Then he said, why? He said, عَلِمَ أَنْ سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى. Some of people might be like not well, like health sick, with all kinds of things that you go through. Now, وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And there are some people who are struggling, as they say, to make the ends meet. They're struggling with everything in their days to bring things. وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And there are so many people now, if you are in Iraq or Syria or Palestine for years, for this place, and you see the bombs falling on people, and just name it, Kashmir, back, name it, every place. If you are on those war zones, you could understand exactly why we are not can die. Now, having said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then Allah made this a sign for you. He said, فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Just read as much as you can from the Qur'an. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And keep your prayers. Keep your prayers. Keep your prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Of course, if you have the amount of money that's supposed to be paid for zakah, a year term money you have to pay, then he says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. Then Allah added, وَأَغْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. And then advance a soft loan to Allah. قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, soft loan. I mean, to advance a loan to Allah. Yes, Allah says, when I want something done, I want you to advance a loan for me. أَغْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. وما تقدموا لأنفسكم الرست الشهر. Whatever you advance, Allah said, not for Allah, for yourself. Because anything you do is actually for yourself. He says, وَأَغْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله. You will definitely find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not as is, Allah said, هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا. It will be much more better than that, and it's greater in the world. And we know all these verses we read in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these parables and similitudes. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة, like the famous verse that most of us know, that Allah says, when you spend in charity, it's like putting a seed, and the seed will have like years and years, have every hundred plus what we call grains, and the grains multiply and so on, and Allah will keep multiplying that. So anything you do, and by the way, sometimes I'm telling you, any one of us can do something, anyone else, you, me, everyone. And don't underestimate what you do, because in giving charity, the smaller thing will build to be big. Even students, I know people here are struggling. Even if you can spare, for instance, a price you want to pay for a cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is, and so on, and donate it, because that will be the thing that you have, then it builds up, inshallah, for you. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen every one of you, inshallah, give it to you, and so on. Let me conclude by putting this surety for you. One, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rarely used to swear by Allah, rarely. But when he does it, he means to really bring our attention to something that's much more greater than what you think. In this particular instant, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, ثلاثة, three things. أقسم عليهن, I swear by Allah on them. What are these? He says, ما نقص مال من صدقة. No matter how much you give in charity, it will not decrease or diminish your wealth. Allah will always compensate you for it. ما نقص مال من صدقة. And then he added, وما زاد الله عبدا بعفو إلا عزة. And the more you give, Allah will the more honor you for it. And the third is a warning. He said, وما فتح نفس عبد على نفسه باب مسألة إلا فتح الله عليه بها باب فقر. Which means that if you act as if you don't have, and you have, act as if you cannot do it, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually say this to you, that Allah might open a door that will take everything from you. So keep in mind that giving to Allah is actually giving to Allah, you get for yourself more than actually what you give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want you to support the charity, support your chaplaincy as much as you can. And those of us who are with us on this line, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with wealth, please don't hesitate to extend yourself to do it, inshallah. You can do it as individuals, you can do it as families, you can even talk to your family, because this is what the students do. One of the things that I can't forget at all, if you go to Champaign-Urbana, to the university, how the masjid was built, I remember it to this day. And this is a long time ago. I mean, the students got a commitment from the university to them, a piece of land that they can build a masjid in it. And there's a group of students, small university. So I went hitting every parent of children, asked all the children. One of the boys, I cannot forget him. I asked him, what does your father do? He says, he's a physician. I said, okay, this will be our catch. Go to your father and talk to him that we need this X number of money. Students. So he went to him, his father said, okay, I'll give you $10,000. I said to him, okay, don't give it to us. Go invite all the rest of the doctors in a dinner, pay for them and bring me there. Wallahi, we raised $190,000 in that night. And the reward will go for this man who paid. I mean, his $10,000 made that. So talk to your parents, talk to the people you know. Don't hesitate to ask people. And actually asking for charity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is among the best deeds that Allah mentioned in the Quran. For the sisters in particular, I always mention Surah An-Nisa. I always say in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something. I'm going to conclude with it. Surah An-Nisa is chapter 4 in the Quran. The verse I'm talking about is very simple to remember. It's verse 114. That's the number of the chapters in the Quran. You know, we have 114 surahs in the Quran. I mean, the number is this. What Allah says, He says, quote, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ نَجْوَاهُ. We know we are very talkative, we chat, we do this. He said, there is no good in most of what you talk about, except in three. Take them, three. He said, one, he says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. Except the one who actually commands and urges people to do charity. So take it to your home, take it to your parents, take it to your friends, take it to anyone. And don't hesitate to ask people. Give it to the chaplaincy and tell them that you have it for any purpose for that. He said, one, إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ, to do good in general. Like you volunteer, you do this and so on. And the third, he says, أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, or to mend between people. So if you do these three things, look at what the reward comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And if you do this for the sake of Allah, Allah will say He will give you a great reward. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are approaching Ramadan and make your intention from now to the month of Ramadan. Make your intention 10 to read the Quran, to keep the prayers, to keep your service Ramadan, to restrict the things to Ramadan, inshaAllah ta'ala. We say Allahumma balighna Ramadan, because we are less than a week from Ramadan, but you never know who's going to be here to fast the months of Ramadan. And it's an opportunity that we don't want to waste, inshallah. So band your efforts and increase your rewards by actually coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, jazakumullahu khayran. I say subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh Abdullah. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. Thank you so much for your presence. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the best of this life, the best of the hereafter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you and keep you and your loved ones always in His care. And we look forward to having you join us once again. Wa jazakumullah khairan. Thank you, Sheikh Abdullah. Barakallahu feekum. And alhamdulillah, my dear brothers and sisters who have joined us, again, this is a pre-Ramadan program sponsored by Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto. We thank you all for joining us. And as I've mentioned earlier, if you believe in the work of Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto, we ask that you give generously. And alhamdulillah, whenever I'm directly involved in fundraisers, I have a go-to story, and I'm going to go back to it today. You know, I have some good news, and I have some not so good news. The good news is Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto has a lot of money. Did you hear me? Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto has a lot of money. But perhaps the not so good news is that money is in your pocket. So alhamdulillah, by Allah's permission, we have the funds, we have the money. However, it is filtered through all of you. So we ask all of you to be generous. We ask our community members to be generous. And if you are interested in donating to Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto, please visit mcuoft.com. mcuoft.com. uoft.com. And as well, during the month of Ramadan, we at Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto will be sponsoring programming throughout the month. On Mondays, we will be having a community iftar. On Tuesdays, we will be having our evening Ramadan reminder just before we break fast. And the Good Life Study Circle, the Good Life Halaqa that I've been hosting over the past two semesters will continue. However, the timing may be changed so that we can make sure that we are all prepared to break our fast. And as well, we will be having other programming. Last year, we had a very exciting cooking show. We're hoping to reproduce that this year once again. Please keep in touch with us through our social media, our Facebook, our Instagram. And as well, as we are still in a very awkward situation regarding the COVID-19 situation, we ask that if you are in need of anyone to speak to, anyone to connect with, you're looking for a safe space to express yourself and to speak about your fears, your hopes, your aspirations, and to unpack the uncertainty of the future that we're all experiencing, please, again, visit mcuft.com to book a confidential appointment. Again, our appointments are for free, and we hope that will continue. Indeed, if you want to summarize the religion of Islam, keep your heart busy with Allah and keep your hands busy with the people. Muslim Chaplaincy of Toronto is here to facilitate the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also to serve you and to be present for all of you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all on the straight path, the path of those whom He has blessed, and not the path of those who earn His displeasure, nor those who go astray. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all of our shortcomings, our mistakes, our deficiencies, and to transform those shortcomings, those mistakes, those deficiencies, those sins into opportunities for us to return to Him in tawbah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us and to guide all of us and to increase us in knowledge, knowledge that will benefit us in this life and the hereafter. And to bless our teachers, to bless our mentors, like Imam Khalid Latif, like Sheikh Abdullah Idris, and all of those who have helped us to understand Islam and to help us to connect with our religion, especially during very difficult and trying times. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to plant our hearts and our feet deep in the soil of Islam, deep in the soil of Iman, and deep in the soil of Ihsan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately to shower His peace and His blessings upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and the righteous everywhere, and help us to follow His way of rahmah, as He is called, rahmatin lil alameen, a mercy to all of the worlds. O Allah, we ask You to plant our feet and our hearts firm in the soil of mercy until we visit the grave. And again, my dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us. Again, please visit www.mcuft.com to make a donation, to book a confidential appointment. And we look forward to you joining us during the blessed month of Ramadan, where we are doing our best to cultivate taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to visit Ramadan once again. May He accept our prayers, our fasting, and allow us to exit the month of Ramadan better from which we entered. Allahumma ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wal Asr. Innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. I leave you with peace. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May God's peace, mercy, and blessings be with each and every one of you.